I don't know if when Brother Eldon picked his songs that he remembered what I said I was going to speak about this morning or not. But I definitely saw the leading of the Spirit as we looked at God. And then the song in the back of the Sunday school books talked about Jesus is the builder of the church below. He's the builder of the church here on earth. And then the last song was an encouragement to come and just be a part. It says the journey might appear hard, grace shall be as your death. Our living Lord to guide, He's always by our side. He always will provide. And then the devotions. I just had to get the mental picture that Brother Lincoln was talking. He gave the example of following somebody for 50 feet behind. So Dad's going somewhere, and one of the sons wants to go, but he's not allowed to go. Think about that picture, where he is walking along deliberately 50 feet behind, so that he can eventually get to where Dad is, but contrast that down to the son that runs up to his dad and says, may I come along with you? And the situation where Dad says yes, and they go hand in hand, and they go to their destination. Now, that's a choice that we have to make this morning in our walk with God. Are we going to walk hand in hand? Are we trying to walk behind? We want to end up where He is, but for whatever motivation, we don't put our hand into His. My message title this morning is The Blessings of Church Membership. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about what it means to be a Christian. And we need that prelude to this message. Because we cannot make... Well, they're closely related, I believe. We cannot make church membership and being a Christian synonymous. A person needs to be a Christian to be able to experience the blessings of church membership. But there are people that, there are many people who have made it into church memberships without ever becoming a Christian. So this morning, I want to follow the progression of the church, and I want to highlight the blessings of being part of that church movement. I'm going to do it a little bit differently this morning. I'm going to give you my whole outline first, the major points. So first of all, we're going to look at the definition of the church. Then we're going to look at the churches established. And then the church is maturing. The question of what is church membership? And finally, the blessings of being a member in the church. I actually have another one yet here, but I don't think we have time to get to it. So. Again, real quickly, in case we're writing it down, the church defined, the church is established, the church is maturing, what is church membership, and the blessings of being a member in the church. Okay, turn with me to Matthew 16. Jesus only used the word church 2 times, nearly as I can tell. And if we look at the definitions, I would like to look at these 2 citations of church by Jesus. Matthew 16. Going to read verses 15 through 18. chapter 16, verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to go ahead and turn right to the next reference, and then we're going to talk about both things. Turn forward to Matthew 18. Verses 15 to 17. Matthew 18, 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear that, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Okay, so as we look at the first reference, Matthew 16, where he says, On this rock I will build my church. What does church there mean? Church is a visible group. Christ followers. That's what he means by church when he says this. Now, sometimes church can be used in the context of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ. In other words, sometimes we can use the word church as the broad spectrum of Christians. Matthew 18 then talks about problem resolution in the church. And here Jesus says, if you have a brother that you've gone to and talked to personally, you've gone with a couple others and talked to, tell it to the church. He's not saying start a gossip chain amongst all the Christians you know. He's saying take it to the leadership of a local body of believers. And as we go through scriptures, we see the word church throughout the New Testament quite a few times, over 100 times, I believe it was. Almost always, it's that second context. It's the same word gets used each time, but almost always it's the second context, the local body of believers. In other words, a congregation. The definition that I found was said like this. A popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, as in a Jewish synagogue or Christian community of members, one earth, or saints in heaven, or both. So that's the definition for church for most of the times that it gets used in the Bible. Now, jumping back just a little bit to the first reference. I said Jesus only used the word church two times that I can find here. But he spoke a lot of the kingdom of heaven. We see that reference many, many times in his message. And the kingdom of heaven, he references the large body of unity on the earth, united in spirit. Not necessarily united physically. Believers that don't even know each other, but united in spirit. Turn with me to Acts 1:6 for a little more clarification on this. Yes. the disciples themselves were confused about what this kingdom of heaven was. In Acts 1:6, when they were come together, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 now. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. And verse 9 and 10. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus had already suffered and died. He had already risen. And the disciples are still confused about what he's been talking about these last 3 years, the kingdom of heaven. They said, is this the time now that you can set up the kingdom? And Jesus' answer, if I could put it in my own words, was, this is not a time to talk about an earthly kingdom. That's something the Father has out in his plan somewhere. But this is the time for you to preach and start the church. And with that, he was gone. It says he went up into heaven, and a cloud received him on their sight. So Jesus' last words to the disciples, summarizing it in my own words, you are going to receive power now to start the church. So moving on to church is established. The disciples evidently didn't stay confused on that point very long. Because as we go into church is established, they got busy and did just what Jesus said to do. Now, back to some more comments on the Matthew 16. And then we're going to move into the book of Acts some more. I struggled with this passage for many, many years. And there was something that just kind of came together for me in my study as I was preparing for this message. Verse 18, Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I struggled with what rock? What rock? And I believe that the rock was Peter's confession. But as I study this closer, that's not what Jesus said. He said, Peter, you are going to be instrumental. You're going to be the forefront figure in building my church. That's what he told Peter right there. Remember when Jesus surnamed Simon to Peter? He said, a stone. That's why we're calling you Peter. You're a stone. You're a rock. And the writer of the book of Acts clearly caught sight of this concept. Because if I'm not mistaken, I'm not going to say there were zero occurrences, but as I skimmed through it, there were zero occurrences that I found in the book of Acts where any of the apostles were mentioned without Peter being in the middle, the instigator of what was going on, or the subject of what was going on. And so we are going to, as we look at churches established, we're going to follow Peter. Because Jesus told Peter he would be at the start of the visible church. He would be at the start of the church as we know it today. He gave the apostles as a group the charge just before he left to start the church. But he told Peter, you're the one that's going to lead this out. And that's exactly what we see happening in Acts. So go into Acts 1, and I'm going to skim this pretty fast. Right after this occurrence, that we read here, Jesus' ascension, it says they returned to Jerusalem. They went to an upper room, verse 13, where we're gathered, and it gives a whole list of them. They continued in prayer. So they had those days of just praying. Then what happens in verse 15? Peter stands up and initiates and probably officiates the first ordination in the church. They had an ordination to replace Judas in the apostleship. As we move forward, actually, one thing that's very interesting just to note here, this happened even before the Holy Ghost came. But Peter said, we have Holy Ghost inspiration in this. The Word of God already told us what was going to happen and what we need to do about it. And we're going to move forward. Acts 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, this is the day of Pentecost, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And he goes on to give the message of the very first evangelism crusade. Post-Jesus. Jesus had sent out ministry tours, a couple of them, where he took people 2 by 2 and sent them out. But in the church age, Peter led off in the very first evangelism crusade. Acts 3. We have the story of Peter and John going to the temple to worship and pray. And they met the man outside the temple begging for alms. And Peter performed the first miracle of the church. The man that was looking for alms through the power of God received something a whole lot more than what he asked for. And Peter was that vessel. Moving ahead to chapter 5. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira feeling the pressure of seeing the willingness of others just to sell everything they had, give to the apostles, turn it into a common fund to help others. They liked the recognition that those people got. They liked what was happening there. They wanted to be part of the movement. But they weren't willing to sell everything. And so they sold a piece of property and brought it as a donation to the church. And they lied about it. They actually brought part of the property value as a donation to the church. And they said, we sold this property, and here's all the money. And so Peter says here, verse 3, chapter 5, Ananias, why I say to fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep thy part of the price of the land. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all of them that heard these things. As far as I know, this is the first recorded church discipline in the New Testament church. Moving on. Chapter 8. Let's start with verse 12. This is after the deacons were ordained, after Stephen was stoned, and what it did was just scattered a lot of the Christians. And we have here the record of Philip. He traveled, he went to Samaria, verse 12, and they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. And then Simon, who we referred to earlier, he was a magician, sorcerer. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So here we have Peter as the first missionary sent out by the New Testament church. There were others that had scattered because of persecution and preached as they went along. You guys, I can tell this is the first account where the church commissioned somebody and said, you go. You go out here and preach the word. Moving forward to Acts 10. I don't think I'm going to read this. I think I'm going to want to read it. But this is the story of Peter and his vision of the sheep being let down from heaven and containing clean and unclean animals, a voice telling him to kill and eat. This happened a couple of times, and then there was a knock on the door, and Peter was commissioned to go into a Gentile home to preach the word. And so Peter became the first New Testament evangelist to the Gentiles. One more reference I'm going to refer to here in Acts 15. Actually, I'm not going to read this whole passage either. But this was a conflict where some of the Judeans that had come out to, I think it was Antioch, I forget, but one of the outlying Gentile congregations, and were telling them that they need to be circumcised just like the Jews if they're going to be saved. And so this wound up going back to Jerusalem because the apostles were still there. Even with some of the traveling we had here, they were still based out of Jerusalem. And in here, we have them speaking. Verse 7. Regarding this, it says, after there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, know how that a good while ago God made choice among us and the Gentiles, but not my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And he went on to give his defense of the gospel to the Gentiles. And so Peter became the center of the resolution between the Judeo-Gentile conflict. To me, it was very interesting to follow these points because it very clearly shows the building of the biblical church. Leadership established. Evangelism, reaching out and receiving thousands of people into the church. Church discipline, going out to the Gentiles. Actually, first of all, it was the Samaritans, which the Samaritans were looked at kind of as a mixed breed because there was intermarriages there. So So there was evangelism to the Jewish people, later to the Samaritans, later to the Gentiles. And you can just see the progression of the church as it becomes more and more established. Now, church is maturing. Turn with me to Acts 11. Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. But when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So church is maturing. We're looking at Antioch here. This was where this other conflict happened, I believe. What was happening in Antioch? I see here, at the preaching of the word, there were people banding together. They were coming together to hear the word of God. They were coming together, forming a common union. They were coming together, forming a congregation. Verse 23. The word was observed, and leaders were sent. What were those leaders sent to do? Verses 23 and 24. I see encouragement and teaching. So these leaders were there to bring encouragement to these believers and to bring up more teaching. Verse 26, they stayed on a year with these people, continuing to teach. I see discipleship. They were discipling individuals. And I want to look at that now. That as part of the backdrop to the question, what is church membership? First and foremost, I want to make it clear before we can even talk about church membership, one must be a Christian. That is the forerunner of being a church member. We need to have a relationship with Jesus. We need to come to Him and repent. Secondly, I see committing yourself to a group of visible believers or a part of the kingdom of heaven. What all goes into that? It's not just attendance. It's building a relationship bridge. It's opening yourselves, your heart up to the church. Yes, you could say it's making yourself vulnerable to the people of the church, congregation. It's putting your shoulder to the work of the church, being part of an organism that makes it go, that makes it go forward, being part of the light that goes out. is subjecting yourself to leadership of the church. And again, church here, as we saw in some of the examples here in Acts, I didn't specifically look at references to church, but they were referring to congregations that were here or there. That's what we're referring to here. Subjecting yourself to a leadership. That is what membership in a church is. I have in my wallet, I have this little thing here. I call it driver's license. Sometimes I would have in my wallet maybe a card that says Costco on the front of it, or BJ's. By ascribing to that, I have certain privileges. If I don't have that BJ's card, and I walk up to BJ's, and I want the benefit of their warehouse style store pricing, I won't get it. Huh. Same thing in church life. Yes, there are some things you can get. I could go into BJ's with a friend and kind of ride along and make some purchases that way. The same thing in church life. There's a certain amount of the blessing that you only get with commitment. You're putting yourself in the line, so to speak. I want to talk about the blessings of being a member of the church. And I'm actually, the first number here, I'm referring back to Matthew 18, the first two passages we read. This passage is talking about a problem. Talking about a brother that's offended. You know, one of the blessings of being a member of the church is relationships. And as for Matthew 18, those relationships are not always sweet. Those relationships are not always easy. But as members together in the church, one of the things we commit to is helping each other in the way. When you see me fall, when you see me do something wrong, when you see me with a bad attitude, you, as brothers in the church, come to me and speak to me about that. You endeavor to strengthen me. You endeavor to lift me back up. Matthew 18 goes on to say, if it doesn't work individual to individual, then bring some more brothers, some more people from this congregation that know me, and come and try again.
Yes, Lord.
It also tells us that if it doesn't work, that if it cannot be amended, if it cannot be fixed, then leadership needs to step in and say, you are no longer part of the church. You are part of the world. You are part of the world and the devil's systems. I'm not sure what you're thinking as I describe that, but to me, that's a blessing. How many here, as you look back on your growing up years, when you look back in your growing up years, you're thinking in one of two camps. You're thinking of a home that was disciplined, and I'm going to say the benefits that you received from that. Or the other side is a home that had no discipline. And you're probably looking back at that and saying, you know, I wish there would have been time for my dad to just take me aside and sat me down and set me straight. Discipline is a blessing. And this is one of the big differences between attending a church and being a member of the church.
Mm.
Encouragement for your Christian life. We're not meant to be alone. How many times did Jesus walk by himself? Yes, he had times when he tried to get aside and spend a few minutes alone. But as a rule, we're not meant to be alone. We're meant to relate to people. God built us with that desire to relate to others, to have friends, to be able to share in a way that matters. And you know what? I learned a lot about these first two parts of church life and some others when I got married. From the outside, you can look in and you can say, that's just sweet. That's beautiful. But you know what? Any couple that's married faces their challenges. And I think I can say severe challenges that they need to work through. Some in the first year. Others in the first month. Others in the first week. And still others in the first day. It's going to come. But the beauty of that relationship is when you both embrace the challenge and say, we're going to work through this together. We're not going to allow this to stop us. In fact, we're going to work through it together. We're going to learn to know each other better. And we're going to come out closer to the end. Another of the beauties of the marriage is that social interaction. Same thing in church. Church should help to fill that role of having close companions that you can trust and relate to. Brotherhood help. And here in Matthew 18, it's talking about spiritual brotherhood help. It's talking about when in my heart I fall and that comes out of my actions, out of fruit. My brother sees that. And he comes to me and says, something is wrong. Can you please give this consideration? Please think about the choices you made there or where this is going to take you. Brotherhood help physically. Acts 11:27-30, we won't take time to turn there. But as a member in the church, you'll find yourself a physical recipient in many ways as well. We tend to think of times of crisis when people kick in financially or meals, but it happens all the time. If you go out and cross the GW bridge in rush hour, how many of those vehicles have just one person? Lots and lots. Lots of them are people alone. Brother in the church might give you a ride. And the list could go on and on and on. Don't forget physical help too. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about another help we get, and that's the spiritual gifts. It talks about how you might be strong in this, I might be strong in this, you might be strong in that, but it all blends together. 1 Corinthians also talks about the church as a body. It needs a hand, it needs a foot, it needs an arm. It needs a leg. It needs the eyes. They're all needed. Each one plays a role to make a complete congregation. And I think we can actually broaden that out. I had the mental pictures I was studying. If I was an artist, I would have brought you a picture in the shape of a human body. But you know, not only is each congregation an organism that has a bunch of different gifts, but I think about Christ's church at large, the kingdom of heaven. You know, that hand might represent the whole, might represent the contribution of light and truth to the kingdom of heaven at large. The foot might represent the contribution of another congregation to the kingdom of heaven at large. Side note here. Accountability. Romans 13:1 tells us that leaders are given to give an account. Acts 5 we looked at. Ananias and Sapphira found themselves accountable to the church in the form of physical church leaders. 1 Corinthians 5 and several other passages, we have Paul writing and saying, this cannot happen in the church, and this is what you need to do to stand down. Accountability. Revelation gives a little different dimension to that. In the church, there are soul watchers. Revelation, as each of those seven churches were evaluated, the message was given to the angel of that church, to the one that needed to lead that church. Because that leadership is responsible to watch for the souls in that congregation. When there's something goes wrong, that leadership is responsible to address it, to correct it, to redirect it. Another blessing of the church is sharing in the ordinances of the church. James 5 says, if one among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. If one of your members is sick, let him call for the elders of the congregation. As I understand that passage, let them come anoint him with oil. That's one of the ordinances. We have the Christian salutation. We share it with each other as a symbol of our love for each other. The church should be a big family where we care about each other that much, where we love each other that much. That's the design of the church. In a month, the members of the church will be practicing communion and feet washing. Again, another blessing of being a member of the church. It is being able to share in the sacredness, the specialness of the Christian ordinances. The members will get together. They will examine, they will go through examination together. And then they will share the ordinances together. Very quickly, I'm going to add one more point here. Becoming a member of the church. Because if there's a church membership, it needs to be with an invitation to others to become a part of that. And this invitation, we want you to join. If you're not a member of the church, we want you to think about it. We want you to come join. Be a part of that intimate relationship. Be a part of a group where we're watching out for each other. be a part of a group where we work together to serve the Lord. I'm not in any way saying that earthly congregations are perfect, because they're not. I'll tell you right up front, you're going to run into bumps in the road. You're going to run into challenges. You're going to run into relationship struggles. You're going to run into questions about, is this brother really doing what he should do? Is this sister really doing what he should do? But the power is being part of it. And helping to be part of the solution. Lord willing, as soon as we get back from Mexico, we would like to start a class of church instruction. And I'm sharing that now. Because if you haven't shared with one of the ministry already, that's support. And you would like to be a part of that class with the thought of maybe becoming a church member at the end of that class, then please share. Please share. These classes, starting the class, if you're indecision, this class is about learning the involvement of church membership, learning more about it. Learning more about the Christian life. If you're in indecision, entertain that, then come to the class anyway. Learn about it, and make a decision. These thoughts in mind was Neil. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the institution of the church. Father, that you've shown us how it works, how it grows, how to interrelate. Father, I pray, Lord, that each of us here will have a deep appreciation for the church that you have established. Father, for those of us who are members in this congregation, in this visible body of believers, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow in that appreciation. Father, help us not to become lukewarm. Help us, Lord, to be having hearts just hungering after you. Father, those who have been coming and attending, I pray, Lord, that you just make clear to them your will for their lives. Father, I ask, Lord, that the road to becoming part of this church here be cleared up in their minds. Father, that the church could grow as it did in the book of Acts, and that many, Father, could be joined to it. Father, most of all, that we would be a light and a testimony to the world around us, and that many, many souls would be saved, would come to know you, and open their lives up to your guidance and direction for them. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning, that you bless for the service, and Lord, your name would be lifted up, that you would be the central theme of all that happens here. Father, that the church would never be put on a pedestal that hides you. And Father, that you would be lifted up in a way that the church would grow around you. We pray this all in the precious name of Jesus.